This is Will's Band of the Week for October 6th, 2019. Another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with David from the Brooklyn Indie Rock Stardom Bureau.
I'm here.
We could just call it the Indie Rock Stardom Bureau.
Well, that's true, but some people might think it was in Melbourne or somewhere like that.
Well, that's true. You can definitely go to Melbourne for Indie Rock Stardom. Seems like some people are moving to Los Angeles for Indie Rock Stardom now.
Yes.
So there's a little bit of that. And in, do you find that the... that, and maybe it's just my personal bias, but when you hear the recordings from the bands that moved to LA, they're always a slicker recording. It's always like a higher.
Absolutely.
It's punchier and
that's why they go.
That's probably a good point, right? Yeah, if you have a lo-fi kind of, I mean, we could call it like half-fi or something, right? Just, you know, your basic indie rock recording from a Brooklyn band. If they want to really just break out with the super production, you go to LA, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I guess...
But that could ruin them also.
Well, right.
It could get so slick that nobody wants to hear it.
It's a fine line, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Let's see. When were you on last? A month ago or so?
I think so.
Yeah. We try to keep the listeners in touch with the, Indie Rock Stardom Bureau. I mean, you've got indie rockers like everywhere. You could go like a block in either direction and there'd be like five or six bands just hanging out at a coffee shop, probably, right?
It's true.
And
but would I be able to distinguish them from everyone else in the coffee shop? That's the question.
Right. That, I don't know. Maybe they'd recognize you, like the cool guy from Will's Band of the Week.
Only if I was wearing a t-shirt.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we have a lot of good stuff, right? It's great.
Yes.
There's been a lot of really good music coming out. It's just not going to end this year. We're gonna get to the end of the year, and it's going to be, a tough task coming up with all these top tens, I think, because there's so much to choose from. So,
the lists are piling up. We have major bands that aren't even at the top of the list at this point, because there's so much to get to, but I guess maybe we'll have to hit them at some point, right?
Right, yeah, some of them. It'll be interesting to see what rises to the top. So, well, why don't we start with...
We're focusing on the vanguard, though. Not the big names, but the people that will be the big names someday, right?
Right, I think so. If we have a bias, you know, we go for the young, unproven, unestablished bands. So, yeah. All right, let's do this. Live report time.
Yes, it's a little bit late, but a week or so, well, actually more like 2 weeks ago, I went to see Bleached at Elsewhere, which is in Brooklyn, which is a venue where I'm spending a lot of time, and I really like it. In particular, this night, because it was full, it was a good crowd, but it wasn't one of those packed crowds where you have to jostle with people and people are knocking into you and knocking your beer over. There was space. Mm-hmm. Which is always nice, so you can get close, up close and personal, but still have room to move around.
Sounds like a good balance.
It was a perfect balance. I went with Gabriel, Child of the Pod, and there were two opening acts that were so bad that I don't even want to name them, because that wouldn't be nice to just name them to describe how horrible they were. So let's just say excruciating.
You know, that just, but that's good because that adds credibility to your live reports when you say, you know, opener number one was great, opener number two was great. You're not just giving that a rubber stamp. If they aren't good, they have to earn it, is basically what we're saying, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
So these openers did not earn it.
They did not earn it in any way. And the, and to make it even worse, I was in a record store a few days later, and I saw band number two's record prominently displayed in the front as this rising L.A. punk band. And I thought, oh, no. No, they're not.
Huh.
But I guess they had stopped by and, you know, talked to the record store guys and guys and gals, and, you know, they got some placement. But anyway, Bleached, who are from L.A., very, very steeped in L.A., I have to say. They were just fabulous. I just cannot say enough about how great they were live. Just every song. They did basically every song from the recent record and a few from the previous record. They don't have any slow ballads, you know. It's every song is high energy, and they were high energy, and they were just amazing from beginning to end. That's all I have to say. If you have a chance, I would say see them live.
Cool. So we were talking about the LA thing, and their album does have kind of that LA production, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And yeah. But they also, you know, it's pretty cool if they can, I think you, when you have an album that has great production like that, it sets your standard a little bit higher for your live show, right? You gotta sound good. You gotta be tight. You gotta have a good mix and everything.
Yeah, well, that was the other thing, was the sound was fabulous too. Sometimes when you're up front, you know, you don't get the best sound because it's oriented toward the back of the room.
Yeah.
But yeah, the sound was great too. So yeah, I can't say enough about them. Great guitar, great singing, great energy, great, you know, just like leaping up and down. I mean, just fabulous.
Cool, that's great. So I have a short live report. I went to see one of my wife's favorite bands. So, you know, when your wife's favorite band comes to town, it's like, I guess we're going, aren't we? She's like, yes, we're going. So way back in, maybe not 10 years ago, but a good solid 8, probably. Well, I'm going to have to look it up now. Hold on. I found it. 10 years ago, there was an album that I really liked. Actually, it came out in 2008. It was a band called Mason Proper. Do you remember them?
No, I know the name, but I don't think I ever listened to them.
So they were from Ann Arbor, Michigan. They had a 2008 album called Ollie Oxen Free, and it was an album that I really liked, and my wife just kind of, you know, latched onto it and really liked it a lot too. The lead guy from Mason Proper was a guy named Jonathan Visker, and he, after Mason Proper kind of became inactive, he started his own band or project called Abso Facto. And he kind of went, Mason Proper was more of a guitar band, and Abso Facto was kind of a synthy electronic type thing, more in that direction. And so I just realized there's a theme going on here, because he moved to Los Angeles for indie rock stardom. And then years have gone by, and Abso Facto now has a major label deal. I don't know who the major label is, but I know that because he told me, because we walked in, and so my wife just loves Abso Facto also. And so we walked into the venue. It was at the High Noon, and, you know, he was standing right there, you know, at the t-shirt table and merch table. And so so my wife was like thrilled and got a shirt and talked to him for a minute or so. Yeah, and he moved to LA and got a major label deal, and he's really happy, and that's all cool. So he was opening for a band called Shade, spelled S-H-A-E-D, which wasn't really my thing. They played at Lollapalooza, though, so that means they're major, apparently. It's kind of a showy electronic type thing. So Abso Facto was, I think, decent. Not really my favorite thing since they've gone more in a electronic direction, but I only saw one song of Shade because I was at the bar next door watching the Brewers in their absolute terrible collapse that ended their season. So Barrett would have had more to say about that. we were texting back and forth. Yeah. Barrett was saying, I can't watch anymore. And this was before they completely fell apart because we were both just having this sense of doom. You know? And then, of course, it happened. So, but I was watching that instead of Shade. Anyway, cool. Abso Facto, well, formerly Mason
question.
Proper.
Did you give Abso Facto a business card?
Actually not. I didn't have any. I'm terrible. Well,
oh, no.
You know, I have a bunch of business cards, and I was looking the other day, and I couldn't find them. They've kind of gotten buried in Fourth Bedroom Studios. I got to dig them out somehow. I think I should be able to find them by next March, don't you think? That's enough.
So.
Is that enough time?
If not, right. Jeremiah will have to order us a whole new batch.
Yeah. Yes. He's the best promoter, I think, Jeremiah is.
Yes, he's probably handing out business cards in Kenya as we speak.
Right. Literally all over the world. He posted a video. Was that from Kenya?
He's yes. Like,
it's unbelievable. Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
A reggae band from Kenya.
Yeah. All right, there we go. Live report. Now, I guess we need to do this.
And now it's time for the Death of the Week.
So one of these people we've heard of and don't know a lot about was getting a lot of press after her untimely death. How old was she? 57?
57, ALS. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, that's just bad. Maybe I shouldn't have played the jingle, but I did because we weren't that familiar with her, so I guess that means we can play the jingle. That's terrible, right? I don't know. So okay. I apologize for playing the jingle, but... the woman's name was it Kim?
Well, I think the jingle is always appropriate. I mean, unless it's someone you know personally, I think.
Okay, we should have a presumption that the jingle is okay. Yeah, I guess so. Kim Shattuck.
Mm-hmm.
And she was in a band called The Muffs, and they were pretty highly regarded. It's a band that I had heard of and didn't know that much about, but then I read so many people saying like how much they liked her and their music. So that's pretty cool, right?
Yep.
So
pop punk, mid-90s, had about, I think, 5 or 6 albums, and actually had a recent album. They were still active. I don't know what shape she was in when they recorded it, but they managed to put out a recent album.
And we did some serious music journalism before we started recording to figure out a track to play, and we found one, right?
Mm-hmm.
This one's called Oh Nina. That's some pretty good rock and roll screaming, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, great voice.
Yeah. Well, very cool, The Muffs. Somehow I missed them in that mid-90s period. It was before, you know, internet music boom, and it wasn't played on the radio, at least where I was. So kind of missed it, but sounds pretty cool.
So, wait. Trivia note. Kim Shattuck replaced Kim Deal in the Pixies in 2013. You remember Kim finally had enough and left the Pixies
yeah.
one more time?
Yeah. And I read that.
It she said was the new Kim.
It was a brief stint,
and then they fired her.
Yeah. maybe those Pixies are hard to get along with. And, you know, they're still playing, and like, people,
hard to get along with, yes.
People, you know, Pixies fans seem to really think it's just not the Pixies without Kim Deal.
Well, the only time I have seen them was prior to 2013, but post, you know, post re-up, and Kim was there. And I have to say, seeing her, not even hearing, but seeing her was a big part of the experience.
Hmm.
There's just something about all the personalities and how they play out in the songs. So I probably would have felt cheated if I'd seen a Pixies that wasn't the original lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it was years later.
Yeah, I never saw the Pixies. I was only a mild Pixies fan, so I didn't really go out of my way to see them. So, yeah. All right, Kim Shattuck.
Yes, and she had I noticed in the obituary she had a great line about how she was not a big fan of complicated guitar work, you know, really, really great solos and all of that. She said something like sing-song lyrics and loud guitars, you know, are what makes punk music, and that's all I need, something like that. So, you know, she had a formula. She had it down. She didn't need to... didn't need to mess around anyway.
Yeah, it sounds like she was true to her philosophy.
Yeah, I like that.
Yep. All right. On to the featured artists this week.
Featured.
Yeah. And, well, I'm sure people are wondering, have been wondering, well, when are they going to talk about Alex G, right? Because he's becoming an indie rock veteran, really, at this point, I'd say. Yeah. And we've talked about him at least twice. I bet we've talked about him three times already on the podcast over the years. And he's now, I guess he's officially adopted the Sandy in front of the Alex G. So it's Sandy in parentheses and then Alex G.
Right.
But his name is Alex, and his last name starts with a G. So pretty straightforward, right?
Yes.
At some point there was another Alex G, I think. Some internet goofball or something. You know, YouTube sensation. A woman, yep. I think. Yeah.
So, she may still be around, so
yeah,
that's why he retains them on.
So
or maybe has no choice at this point. I don't know.
Yeah, so he keeps putting out albums that are, I think, really impressive and kind of musically diverse and interesting, and this one's no exception. It's called House of Sugar. So let's play a song, and then we'll go from there.
Okay.
I'm going to start it off with number two, Hope.
Got a
That's Sandy Alex G from Philadelphia.
Yeah. So speaking of eclectic, I remember the last record was kind of almost set a world record for how eclectic the songs were. There was just everything on there.
Right. Yeah.
There was psych rock. There was country. There was just everything you could think of.
Right.
Every song's different.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of amazing. This one, the way I look at it, I think there's really only two kinds of songs on this record. There are some interesting sonic experiments, which we probably won't play. Sort of, you know, some repeated electronic tones that he does, and then he kind of sings over them, and like Project 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are the songs like the one you just played, which are have that kind of, I don't know, what is that sound? Exactly.
I'm having trouble describing it myself. I mean, it's a little bit folky, I guess, with the acoustic guitar, but just it goes beyond what you would call like folk music.
Yeah, the one thing it reminds me of is, do you remember the Beck album Sea Change?
Right. Yeah.
A few years ago, it kind of has that sound, sort of a dreamy. I don't know. The song's just kind of drifting. A very, you know, plaintive kind of vocal. They're sad songs, generally, on that album, not necessarily on this one.
Yeah. There's always a little bit of a kind of sad undertone, which is part of why I like it, I think.
Yeah, yeah. It is hard to describe, though.
Yeah.
But it's a distinctive sound for most of the record.
So what is your first pick?
Well, let's see. How about Bad Man? It's a little different, but it's the same kind of style.
Yep, that's another good one. There are a lot of really good tracks on this, I think. And
yep.
It makes it hard to pick one. But that one's a good example of, I think, not only is he a good songwriter, but he's also a good recording engineer for himself. I mean, I think he pretty much records this,
yeah,
his albums,
yeah,
by himself.
That was amazing.
They sound really good, and not just the electronics, but, you know, the acoustic guitar sounds great. You know, he's the complete artist. So, yep. You know, I really like tracks 3 and 4, Southern Sky and Gretel, but I think let's go, and, you know, do a little more deep cut here. Let's go up to number 11, Cow. Thank you. Such a simple,
yeah, that is really amazing.
Yeah, just a simple lead hook, and yeah, great.
And Sandy, he's singing harmony with himself, I assume, right?
Yeah, I think so. There may be. I think he does have some guests on this album, so I'm not sure who they are, because he's got friends who are you know, indie rockers. So, but I can't remember who any of them are right now. So anyway, yeah.
I don't know what the lineup is when he plays live. I don't know how many people he brings along, and you know what they do. Because my impression is that in terms of recording, he does it mostly himself.
Yeah, he's got a good live band. I've seen him at least twice. I think twice.
Oh.
And it was interesting because the first time was probably like 4 years ago, and he really hadn't achieved indie rock stardom. And he came, this is great, he played at the Student Union here in Madison, and he had this cheap guitar that he had gone to Guitar Center, and it was like $150 cheap Les Paul Junior or something like that, and it was like the tag was still on it. So he probably went, you know, to Guitar Center and played it for the gig and then took it back the next day. I don't know. That's what it seemed like. It was really funny. And then the more recent time I saw him, there was a, you know, substantially more, you know, tight, really good band. So he's got a good live band. He's touring this fall too. So check him out. Sandy, Alex G. All right. Now, let's talk about Sea Blight. You told me about this band. Right? Didn't you hear them on a internet radio station or something?
I did. I heard them on the internet.
So,
and I was just taken with the one song, and then of course, you know, when you start listening, it's like, whoa.
Yeah, they are very twee pop kind of, right?
Yes, they're right in that jangle wheelhouse
in the San Francisco Bay Area scene, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you should go first on this one because you get the credit for the discovery.
Yeah, why don't we? I think the one that I was immediately taken with was Heart Mountain, which is number, is that five?
Yep. Yeah, that's a great one. We're setting expectations too high already, aren't we?
No, there's other songs that are just as good, I'd say.
If you like your twee indie pop, here you go, Heart Mountain.
So two things about Sievelite. First of all, they only have one album, but it's called Grass Stains and Novocaine, which is a great, mm-hmm. great album name. And also, I just looked to see if they have any upcoming concerts, and they don't really have too many upcoming concerts. But they're playing in January, opening for Janine's.
Wow, that's a great combo. Where is that? In Brooklyn?
No, it's in San Francisco.
Oh, they need to take it to your neighborhood.
Or your neighborhood.
Yeah, sure. I'd
we
be
don't
there.
Have anyone in that area to report back to us.
Need a Bay Area correspondent. Oh, Jeremiah could head over there.
That's true.
Yeah. So, I think the track order on this album is very interesting, because I think the middle of the album is the best part of the album, and mm-hmm. the late part might even be better than the beginning. So they kind of it takes them a while to get to unwind to the, you know, really hitting the hooks. You know, the vibe of the whole thing, of course, you know, a lot of it is very melodic bass driven, which is, you know, I love that style of bass with like a lot of high bass notes, and you know, it's kind of driving the melody a lot, and which I love. I'm gonna go back to track 4, which is another really good one, I think. Time is Weird. A lot of hooks in there, right?
Yeah, very hooky.
Sievelite, is that a real word? I have to look that up now. It's not a real word, because if you look up or you search Sievelite, you immediately get the band. So that's kind of cool, right?
Well, I think that they've learned to play the Google search game very well.
Although
they didn't even have to misspell anything, not exactly.
But you do also get a link to a Wikipedia article about Swieda, which is a genus of plants also known as seepweeds and sea blights.
Ah.
There's a hyphen between the sea and the blight, the way they write that. So,
okay.
Yeah, good band name, I'm going to say.
It's an okay band name, I guess.
Okay, so you're not like so high on it.
Well, it has a sense of, you know, like, wait, is that like a disease, a sea blight? I don't know. But I love the album title. The album title's great.
Grass Stains and Novocaine.
So
yeah,
I'll let them go on the band name.
All right, time for another pick.
Well, as you say, right in the middle there is the best of, I think, But how about number six? He's a vacuum chamber.
Sea Blight, yeah, I think we did it justice.
Yeah, it's a beautiful record.
So I went to the Bandcamp page, which I always recommend doing. If you want to find out about a band, go straight to the Bandcamp page. It'll usually tell you, you know, more of like what they think about themselves as opposed to, you know, the indie rock press. So I always talk about this. They put the tags on there, so there's a new genre name that they've listed here, and it describes them pretty well, I think. Jangle gaze.
Right?
I mean, that's kind of good, right?
Yeah.
Jangle gaze?
Yeah, definitely jangle, and definitely a shoegaze thing. Well, listen to that last one.
Yeah.
Right?
Definitely.
I like that.
All right, well, I'm going to declare us two for two, and I think we have a bonus band also this week, don't we?
Bonus band.
I mean, we're already up to $0, and yet again, there's a bonus. Yeah, you were telling us about this like a couple months ago. So I'll turn it over to you.
Now, speaking of names that I'm not crazy about, I have to say the only thing I can criticize about this next band is the name, because they're called Teen Angst, which is kind of misleading because they're not a very angsty band at
all. Right.
And they're not teenagers anymore. So I don't know. It's to me, it's kind of misleading labeling, because if you're expecting either really bleak emo or some kind of screaming agony kind of music, they don't have either of those.
Right.
What they have is just very stripped down, straight ahead kind of pop punk sound. Really short, punchy songs. You know, on and off in 2 minutes, and you say, wow, that was great, and it's over. So Teen Angst are from Perth, Australia. We're branching out in Australia.
Right.
We finished up with Melbourne, Sydney, Canberra.
Brisbane.
Brisbane.
Yeah. Yep.
We're done with them. We have to go all the way to the West Coast now.
Right.
To find Teen Angst. I guess I have to make a pick, huh?
You do, yeah.
I do. My first pick is a song you know, when you sometimes you have something running in your brain, little earworm, as they call it.
Yep.
Little snatch of music, and you say to yourself, well, "What is that? I don't even know what's running through my head." And given the volume of music that by different people that I've listened to, it's kind of amazing. This just kept popping up in my head. It's such a simple little song, but it's an earworm. And it's called 90s TV. There's a nice little guitar break at the end there. And that is 2 minutes and 6 seconds. That's all.
Yep. Good length.
Amazing.
Teen Angst. And 7 songs, a little under 19 minutes. So it's pretty succinct. But here's a great trivia item. Tracks 3, 4, and 5 are all precisely 2 minutes, 44 seconds. It's like they have a thing about that length. So, yeah. That fits
really not a dud track on the whole thing.
It's got somewhat of a similar vibe to Sea Blight, you know, not quite the same, but you know, they fit together. I think we got a thematic thing going.
Yeah,
The album is called Not So Vitriolic, so it's like they have some angst, but it's not so vitriolic. So
yeah,
that balances things out, I guess.
I guess so.
So yeah, I'm gonna go with number 4. Dental hygiene.
Good song.
Please make
Those are pretty great bop ba backing vocals, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's interesting. I mean, it's a
great change.
Usually, you know, with lo-fi stuff like that, it seems less common to get those kind of backing vocals. Maybe it's because, I don't know, people get in the studio and they're either more rehearsed or they're more like bold about trying out backing vocals. But I think that's pretty cool on a lo-fi recording.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
so there's even a 1 minute and 27 second song.
There is.
This record. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Should we play it?
It's good.
That's number one, called Adrian. We'll only play about a minute 25.
24 seconds. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Was not the whole song, because there's a little bit more to that fade, the fade out there.
Right.
So you'll need to download the album, buy it, download it, do something with it. Teen Angst, Not So Vitriolic. I think we did it justice, right?
Absolutely.
Have we done the indie rock world justice for the week?
I think so. I think we've covered people who are already big, and people who have the potential to become big. And people who no one outside of Perth, I think, has paid any attention to, but they ought to.
Yeah, they're going to think, what are these American guys doing talking about our album? That's fun, right? We surprise them.
I hope so.
You never know what the internet can do. It can spread your art all over the world. Pretty cool.
It can. And maybe, when you realize just how far Perth is, even from anything else in Australia.
Right, yeah.
I mean, I know that you were planning to send Nick on a little visit just to check these guys out. But, after we looked at what the expenses would be, it turned out to be a little too much, right?
We had to defer it to the finance committee to explore creative options. Yeah. Well, what I was going to say is... they need to get on that, whatever that budget is for sending Australian bands to South by Southwest. They need to glom onto that, right? Get themselves to Austin for indie rock stardom.
I think that's actually a very good, serious idea. Mm-hmm. I think that would be fabulous.
Yeah.
Because I know people who are actually going to be in Austin, so, you know.
Right.
Might work out.
It very well could. Yeah.
I
don't know. We probably shouldn't really promise anybody indie rock stardom. They might be disappointed.
I didn't hear you promise anything.
No, I didn't.
You were just saying that should be their next step.
Right. Right.
And I think that's good.
Yeah. Absolutely. So very cool. All right. I'm going to declare that we are at greater than $0, which means we have done our duty for the week. So
sounds good.
Accumulate some more bands, and we are, it's...
Well, I know that you have more time to listen to more new bands now, because the Brewers are done. So
right, no baseball.
There's a big hole.
There is.
In your schedule that you can fill.
Right.
With other things.
Definitely. Right. Okay. Well, thanks again, David. It's been fun, as it always is.
Oh, you're welcome.
And
next week, if you can get Chris on, you can ask him to tell you exactly why this new product is so great that he's on the internet talking about.
The new product?
Yes.
I think I read something about that.
It's some kind of capsule that they're marketing whiskey in now.
Oh, yeah, right.
Apparently it's getting a lot of flack on the internet, but not from Chris. He's defending it.
Yeah, he said best invention ever. But then there was the other thing.
Exactly.
There was the other thing about the threatened tariff on Scotch whiskey. So I don't know if that's going to actually happen, but it sounds pretty disastrous to me. I don't know.
Yeah, well, that could be a problem both for the bottles and the capsules.
Right. Yeah. Well, time will tell.
Stockpile now. Go to your local emporium and stock up now before the tariff sets.
Yeah, the stuff lasts, right? I mean, you could have a bottle of whiskey in your basement for like, 10 years. It wouldn't even matter, right? I think.
Right. I think, yeah.
All right. Let's sign off. We'll talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, the United Kingdom, and Australia. You can subscribe or download the podcast wherever podcasts are available or from our website, willsband.net. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and you can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.